It's the Mornings with Ed Show, 8:04 the time, and as I've been mentioning this morning, we're about to sift through the specifics of the $340 billion of funding to the Paycheck Protection Program, and we'll check out everything economic, and we have Laureen Gilbert. We're really fortunate to have Laureen with us. She's with Wealthwise Financial Services. She's the founder and president of Wealthwise Financial, and again, to help us sift through it, we are so glad you're here. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning. Good to be here.
How are you today?
On this beautiful... beautiful day.
Yes, it's absolutely perfect outside today. We're hoping our future is as sunny as today is financially.
I agree.
There's a sudden turn. Now, yesterday, the Senate approved additional funding for the Paycheck Protection Program. That's $310 billion for that. I had asked a couple of weeks ago if the initial rescue package would turn into a feeding frenzy, and it turned out that that's exactly what it turned out to be. Is there any way to prevent that this time?
Well, the PPP ran out of funds in 14 days, the last go-round, and I expect this package to run out of funds in a very short order as well. The banks are more prepared now than they were at the time the first PPP package was rolled out, and there are more banks who are willing and able to lend money. So, for instance, I do have bankers that are contacting me, asking me if I have any businesses that need those loans and that they are open for business with the PPP, whereas in the first package, the bankers were scrambling. So I would say there will still be a scramble. However, there is money. I think there will be an additional package after this one for the same PPP program, but they're trying to see what the need is. Unfortunately, in the first go-round, there were companies that should not have applied that did.
Right.
There were publicly traded companies, you probably heard about this story, that applied for it and took some of that funding, which is just wrong because it was meant for small business owners.
Right. They were companies that had hundreds of millions of dollars in cash assets that applied for that. Yeah. Is there no limit to people's greed at some point? Other than putting regulations in place to avoid that, this is the silly question that I promised you. is the Fed organized enough to assign one institution in each city to handle and process the loans for small businesses within that city? Or is that just a dumb idea?
No, not at all. So we have the SBA that has regional offices. So the SBA is very active locally. So the way that the Small Business Administration actually works is that even though it's based out of Washington, D.C., there are regional offices all over the country. And those regional offices help facilitate things like the EIDL, the loan that's available in the PPP program. So, you know, people can get access to the local SBA offices if they need to. Right. And that's how the federal regulators are looking at disseminating information is through the regional SBA offices.
Okay. All right. And I had asked you a little earlier about the breakdown, and we were going to break down the entire, for instance, there's $60 billion that have been allocated for smaller lending facilities.
Correct.
That includes the minority depository institutions and credit unions and such. That is also geared toward the smaller business, the mom and pop brick and mortar spots?
So a couple things there. It's to give access to somewhat underserved individuals that may be using banking facilities that are smaller. So there's $10 billion. There's money set aside for banking institutions that have less than $10 billion, and then also banking institutions that have between $10 and $50 billion. And so that brings it down. So because in the first round, many people were going to their existing institutions, but some of those smaller institutions didn't have access to the PPP funds. So now it's bringing it down to some of those smaller community lenders. And the other important part is that the government wants to make sure that this money is accessed by women business owners, by minority business owners, that the money is getting where it needs to go.
Okay. And would $60 billion be enough, or you think we'll have to hit that again too?
I'm sure we'll hit that, but there's still the greater number of the $310 billion that, that does not exclude those people as well.
Okay. All right. And we had mentioned concerns about the food supply chain now that COVID-19 is in meat processing plants. What effect is that going to have on food prices and farmers? How is that going to affect us down the road?
Well, you might have a shift in people becoming more vegan, for sure. You
know, no kidding.
The vegans will be happy. But, you know, definitely it could cause some short-term delays. You know, we've seen short-term delays in other areas of the markets, like paper goods and whatnot. And so, surprisingly, though, you know, we have a very efficient food supply system. And so I don't expect any kind of long-term impact there, because we do have a very efficient food supply system.
All right. So the general public shouldn't expect like food prices to skyrocket or meat prices to skyrocket in the next few months.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think that we're going to see a skyrocketing in food prices. And just to think about food, though, you know, people spend about 11% of their income on food. Right. It's, you know, definitely an important part of everybody's budget. So, but we don't see a lot of inflationary pressures. One other thing I wanted to mention on the back to the PPP and the new package is that the EIDL loans are being underutilized as well. And there was more money set aside for that too. And while that is not a forgivable loan like the PPP could be, it's another way for businesses to get access to capital. And that goes directly through the SBA. So for business owners, I'm encouraging them to apply for both the PPP and the EIDL.
Okay. I don't know if I asked you this last time. Is there an interest rate on the EIDL?
There is. There's a 3.75% interest rate for for-profit and a 2.75% for nonprofit.
Okay.
And on the EIDL.
Mm-hmm. And if a company, let's say, applied for both loans, let's say a company applied for both loans the last go around and they were left out in the cold, no contact, no anything. Mm-hmm. Do they have to reapply now, or are they still in the tube? Or are they still somewhere in?
Well, you have to have a confirmation from the SBA on the EIDL. So if you go online and you apply for it, you actually get a confirmation with a number that says you're in the system. With the PPP, you go through a bank for that, and they get a number and let you know if you're, in fact, in the system. If you don't have that number, then, yes, you still need to apply.
Okay. I want to switch gears for a second and talk about this morning.
Sure.
This morning, oil prices went up after yesterday bottoming out at a 25-year, 21-year low. Is the oil market broken?
Well, the oil market is actually rebalancing and restabilizing. And we have a supply glut and a demand that's gone to zero.
Okay.
So when you have no demand for oil, then the supply continues to grow. And then the issue has been that there have not been storage capacity. The storage capacity is coming to its limit. And so when people are playing the commodities markets, they're having to dump some of that before it expires. Otherwise, they're going to have to receive the oil in a physical format. So that all came to play for the May contract. So, you know, I think that we're going to see oil eventually needs to stabilize. And what it's going to take for oil to stabilize is we need the OPEC countries to come together, and they need to have drastic cuts in order for us to not have this oversupply. And eventually demand will be up again. The other thing I'd like to say is that oil prices going down is normally a really good thing for the consumer, because it means that gas prices are down and summer travel is up, and people are able to do that at a less expensive way. However, this time is different in that we just don't have the demand. So the consumer is not using those items that would normally benefit them to have oil prices low. But like you said, today we've seen a bounce back a little bit. I would say that we're probably lower for longer on oil for a while, and it will eventually rebalance and stabilize.
Okay. And after hearing the description, I understand, but I still kind of see as the oil industry as right now, for the time being, kind of like a dog chasing its tail. It's going in that never ending circle, really.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to the stimulus package really fast. Well, not really fast. If you have all day, I'd love to have you here all day. But there's been $75 billion allocated for hospitals and healthcare providers to support for COVID-19 expenses. And of course, the lost revenue from canceled elective surgeries and other procedures. And even though they've been at the front line of our attention recently, hospitals are taking a huge financial hit, correct?
Right. If you just go to our local hospitals now, I'm being told, not that I've been to one, but I'm being told that they're just completely empty. That nobody's in the emergency room. Nobody wants to go to the emergency room. And as you said, the elective surgeries have been canceled. That's a big part of their revenue stream. So hospitals are definitely hurting in that way. However, I'd like to also say that healthcare as a broader sector is actually doing quite well. Okay. So while, you know, hospitals themselves may need some help and aid, healthcare as a sector, and one that we like, is still strong.
Okay. And I know that, and I won't ask you specific amounts or anything, I won't get into that, but I know that Wealthwise Financial Services is a small business. Did you apply for either or both of the loans that we spoke about?
I did. I applied for PPP and the EIDL, and I have numbers on both, and I'm supposed to be funding on the PPP this week.
Okay.
And because the banks are required to fund quickly once you have that approval. And the EIDL, I've heard back from the SBA that it is in process and that I should be hearing from somebody soon. I also have a number of clients that have been fully funded on their PPP program very quickly and waiting on the EIDL.
Okay.
Which seems to be taking a little longer.
Okay. And a lot of governors are deciding to open up, if not this weekend, then certainly within the next week or two. Again, we don't have testing. We don't have, there are a lot of things aren't in place yet. Is it too early to open? I mean, I know people are desperate to open up the economy, but would we take a bigger hit opening it up and then having to close down again? Is it too early a lot of economies?
Right. So I'm from Texas originally, born and raised in Texas. So I always keep up with what's going on in the Lone Star State, and Governor Abbott is opening up Texas, one of the first. And what I appreciate that he has done is that he did not make that decision himself. He brought in a group of healthcare professionals, people that knew the healthcare industry, to help make that decision. So he did not make that alone. And I think that's important. Politics needs to come out of these decisions, and it needs to be based on facts. So they're rolling out a multi-phase approach, following federal guidelines, and that's what each of the states should do. So as you mentioned, testing is critical, and we have to have testing. I actually got my antibody test yesterday because I'm convinced that I had the coronavirus, and I'm waiting to hear. I got the one that Quest Labs is offering, which is where it's not a prick test. It was an actual vial of blood that they took, and then they do the test, which takes longer. It's not one of those that you get, in 15 minutes.
It's a six-day return,
Yes, so it takes longer, but it is more accurate. And so that's what we need. We do need full testing. We need to get to the place where we have the herd immunity that we're hearing about. And unfortunately, the new headlines from the CDC is that there will probably be a second wave later in the year that could be even more deadly.
Right.
So before then, we have to get testing ramped up, and we have to make sure that our public is safe. So I think that we're going to continue to see social distancing, temperatures being taken. I think it's going to become just like we had in the airports after 9/11, where we're now used to putting all of our items through, you know, the system that has to be checked. Same thing, when you go to public places, people's temperatures are going to be checked. So it will be interesting to see the way our society changes. But we do, you know, I do agree that people are restless. People want to get out. And if we don't start opening things up, we're going to have more chaos.
Right. Right. I agree with you. I think we're a little spoiled as a society, though. I really do. I think that in a lot of cases, it is way too early. And even though they are rolling out slowly, and I agree that Texas is rolling out as slow as possible, I'm on the other side. I'm thinking just wait a little longer. Just be a little more patient. Yeah. And I know patience is tough.
I guess the question there, Ed, is really, you know, how much does that really help? Because we all have to become immune to this, or we have to have a vaccine. Right. So to wait for a vaccine,
it's 18 months,
could be a long time.
Right.
You know, hopefully sooner than later, but that's not going to happen in the next month. So I guess the question is, would everybody staying home in the next month, would that help even more, or is it just delaying what's inevitable, and that is more people getting this and then us becoming eventually developing immunity and getting later a vaccine?
So I want to cover a personal thing really fast that you mentioned. You had the
sure.
antibody test, and then a few months back I saw you here in the studio. You had just recovered from being sick. Was that the sickness? Was that the one you thought you might have had it?
Yes.
Okay.
So I was hospitalized for 6 days with what started out on a Monday as a flu. By Friday was full on pneumonia at 102.9 degrees fever that did not break for over a week. And then in that second week, it spiked again and my pneumonia got much, much worse instead of getting better, even on antibiotics,
right.
And I ended up needing to be hospitalized. So it was all the things that you read about the coronavirus. So I'll be, by next week when we speak, hopefully I'll know whether I have the antibiotics.
Yeah, I would love an update, and I appreciate that. Lorene Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial Services. She's the founder and president and always helps us just sift through everything economic here. I'm delighted that you're on the program. I look forward to talking to you next week. And I know for a fact now that when the Wealthwise Financial Services group gets back together and people go back to work, they'll have a safe place to go because she's doing it right. So
that's right. We're doing it right. And people can give us a call if they need help with, once again, I said this last week, but we have bankers that are able to help people, business owners, through the PPP program. So just feel free to give us a call at 949-748-1177.
Okay. And if you didn't get that number, you can call me here. I'll give it to you. And give us your web address as well. How do we find you online, Lorene?
It's wealthwisefinancial.com.
Perfect. Lorene Gilbert, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too. Mm.